pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Paul is sitting this one out, maybe getting an ice bath. Maybe he's just resting his legs, whatever he's doing from his long weekend. Good luck at whatever you're doing, Paul. Now, next up, we have our guest before we get back to more of your phone calls. Our next guest is Kennington Smith. How you doing, brother? I see some stuff in the background, man. I think you're a friend, huh?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm so glad that you asked. Just want to say, rude to all the good bros out there, the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, specifically the Bloodthirsty Beta Zeta chapter at the University of Georgia. But I am here in Tuscaloosa, so I got to give a shout out to Beta Eta as well. They've definitely been a friend to me since I've been here.
Man, there we go. Shout out, man. You know how the bros do, man. We're going to look out when we can. So that's all good and that's all well. I'm glad we were able to get over that and get to that. Tell me this. The recruiting at Alabama under Kalen DeBoer, it's been hot. It's been hotter than anticipated, maybe, possibly. But it's also maybe not at the same clip as Nick Saban. Could you maybe decipher that to not only myself, but to the fans as well? Where does Kalen DeBoer and this staff stand as they measure up against Nick Saban and what he was able to accomplish as far as the recruiting trail is concerned?
Yeah, to your point, Alabama's been red hot in the month of March. They've gotten 6 commitments this month, and I think it's kind of one of those cases where as time goes on, emotion is starting to fall by the wayside and logic is starting to creep in a little bit. Whenever Saban or somebody of his caliber steps away from the game, there's going to be a seismic impact. And there were a lot of players that were committed to Alabama that took a step back because they wanted to see who was going to be the head coach. And there are probably some players that folded their arms up and said, if Saban isn't coaching at Alabama, then I'm not going to consider it. But then as time goes on, you start to do more research on Kalen DeBoer, and you start to learn about who he is and what he's been able to do. This is somebody who has won at a very high clip in the FBS, despite only being a coach for a few years. He's been to a national championship. If you are on the offensive side of the ball, it's hard to ignore what he's done on that side of the ball. So it's all about getting players on campus. And that's what he's been talking about since he's been, you know, doing availabilities during spring practices. The key is getting players back on campus. And when players get on campus and they still see the tradition at Alabama, they still see that, you know, the winning culture, they still see practice intensity, and then they get a chance to actually meet Kalen DeBoer, meet his assistants, and get to know them on a personal level, you start to think to yourself that Alabama is going to still be an elite program despite Nick Saban walking away. So I think that's kind of where the momentum is coming from, is just him being able to put his own stamp on an existing brand at Alabama. And as far as where Alabama sits in terms of the recruiting rankings, you know, depending on where you're looking at, they're a top 5 class, a top 10 class right now. And in some ways, it's probably a little unfair to expect him to recruit at the same level as Nick Saban. This is somebody who had 10 number one classes during his tenure at Alabama. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to match that level of recruiting over that period of time. But if Kalen DeBoer can stay a top 5, top 10 recruiter, utilize the transfer portal, which he's done at Washington, and he has some recruiting staffers with expertise in that, and his level of coaching ability, being able to elevate talent, I think we saw that at Washington, then Alabama's going to be just fine.
All right, you know, and talking about getting the recruits on campus, I mean, have they seen the campus? It is beautiful, and everything that's there to offer as well. I want to stay with Kalen DeBoer here. What have you taken in from him as a coach of these type of players? I heard him at the pro day. All he talked about, all he wanted to talk about, and you heard the same thing repeated from some of the players, was building a relationship. That seemed a little bit different under Kalen DeBoer, that it was more I'm not saying it wasn't under Nick Saban, but that is what his bell cow. It was not about all the other things and X's and O's. Yes, that matters. But it's about the relationship that I'm able to build with each individual player. And then the football things will take care of itself.
Yeah, huge on relationships. And that's something that has been a consistent talking point since he's been, you know, here at Alabama. And I think it's kind of reverberated through the entire team. We've got a chance to talk to a lot of players since spring practice has started, and they've all just kind of talked about who he is as a person and how he's really just kind of wanted to establish that kind of personal connection, because it's tough for him to kind of come in and follow the legend of Saban and who he was in terms of his stature. And DeBoer's going to come in. He's been himself. And I think it takes a lot of confidence to come in and keep some things the same and not, you know, tear everything down and say that I'm going to, you know, be so completely different from Saban and implement, you know, everything that I had at different programs. I'm going to keep things that are important to the players, and I'm going to implement my own spin on top of that to continue this train rolling. And I think when you're talking about the relationship aspect, really sitting down and talking to the players that stayed and understanding what is important to them and who is important to them in the building, and keeping some of those guys on staff, like a Freddie Roach, for example, who is Alabama through and through, or Robert Gillespie, who's done a great job since he's been hired, you know, a couple of years ago, keeping the fourth quarter program in place, I think has made players really comfortable. And then when they see who he is as a football coach and the X's and O's and the success, it really kind of makes for a really nice blend. So obviously there's a long way to go, and what happens on the field is going to dictate a lot, but it's hard to really kind of poke holes in the first few months of Kalen DeBoer's era. And it seems like, you know, all indications from inside the program is that it's been a pretty smooth transition, and everybody in the building has full confidence in him.
All right. And I know you mentioned a couple of things. You talked about the staff, some of the hold-ons from the staff is kind of what the players wanted. You talked about the fourth quarter program, which, if you don't know what that is, that's just the off-season conditioning to make sure guys are competing and doing some other things. Could you name specifically anything that the players liked under Saban that Kalen DeBoer has said, you know what, we're going to keep that. That's what we will do as well.
Yeah, I think really the fourth quarter program was really the kind of the main thing, is something that the players spoke to at last season as something that was a really galvanizing force and made players closer in terms of having that brotherhood, you know, in terms of competing, which helps them on the field. That's a really big part of it. And as far as, you know, the holdovers in terms of Freddie Roach and Gillespie, those kind of guys, and some off the field staffers as well, the Josh Chapmans and the James Mosley's and those guys off the field. Ha-ha Clinton Dix also, I can't leave him out as well. So kind of keeping those players around the building, players who have played for Alabama and kind of know the standard and know what it's been over the last few years, just to have players comfortable. So I think those are kind of the main things. And, you know, defensively, I think is another thing as well. I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Kane Womack coming in and maybe changing the philosophy of Saban's defense. But in talking to him and talking to players, it seems like the defensive strategy is much more closer in terms of Saban's philosophies than maybe we anticipated going into spring practice. So those were a couple of holdovers in place that have kind of made those players comfortable. And I think the players have embraced Kalen DeBoer and what he's brought as well. And I think it's worth noting, and Tyler Booker said this when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, that Washington made it farther than Alabama last year. So yep. Clearly, what Kalen DeBoer is doing is working. That's not to say that he's a better coach than Nick Saban, but his way is proven. Fresno State, Washington, what he's done statistically on the field, player development, elevating a roster. Washington's talent composite is obviously not on the same level as Alabama's yet. Washington was a national championship contender last year. So when you blend those two things together, it's hard not to get excited about what the potential could be under him.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. Hey, first and foremost, shout out to my boy Freddie Roach, who was my college roommate. You know, we still represent class of 2001, still on that campus 22 years later, still helping out and continue to grow that program. I want to talk about Kane Womack. I saw him at spring, at the pro day last week. First and foremost, Kennington, it looked completely different. I saw coaches talking to other, doing interviews. It wasn't just one coach. Like, offensive coordinator got on some TV time. The defensive coordinator got some TV time. It was other different representatives. Could you maybe go into Kane Womack, what he's going to be able to do? I heard him talk about really not changing philosophy, but building this defense and what they're trying to do conceptually around their great players that they have that's already there defensively. And that really, instead of always playing press man-to-man coverage, it's more about vision on the quarterback. So now they can be more impactful in forcing more turnovers, in which they led the country 2 years ago at the University, or 3 years ago at the University of Indiana.
Yeah, in terms of Kane Womack, this is somebody who is one of the, not an originator of the 4-2-5 defense, that was his dad, but somebody who has really kind of taken it and made it his own and has been really successful. You bring up what he did at Indiana, at South Alabama. They were one of the better defenses in FBS last year. They were able to put pressure on the quarterback. They were able to get a lot of takeaways, and it's an aggressive style. And you're going to see players maybe playing different roles and doing different things and talking to some specific, particularly on the defensive line and kind of in that outside linebacker group, being able to maybe drop in coverage more, show a little bit more of their skill set, but still being able to kind of have that emphasis on rushing the passer. So it's going to be a really aggressive defense. It seems like he's a really hands-on coach, and I think that is really critical that, you know, him working with that inside linebacker room. You think about Alabama's defense and what was lost last year, and there was a lot of talent leaving, but what is returning? You think about that core group of Deontay Lawson and Jihaad Campbell in the middle of the defense, having Womack really working closely with them to make sure that everybody on the defense is on one accord, because Deontay Lawson is going to be the one calling that defense. I think it's going to be really significant. So he brings a lot of energy, and what he's been able to do on the recruiting trail, kind of circling back to that conversation, you see the amount of recruits they're getting on the defensive side of the ball, particularly at the linebacker position. His message is resonating on the recruiting trail, and it's been resonating on the team as well.
All right, Kington, I got one more quick one before I get you up out of here, bro. That is Jalen Milroe. We all know the story last year. Started off the season where nobody said he could play quarterback. Then all of a sudden he gets the nod under Nick Saban, benched after the Texas game, yada, yada, yada. We all know the story. This offseason, I haven't seen a college football player more looked at as a superstar. I mean, he's on College Basketball. He's on, you know, everything going on. He's the man. He's grew his hair out a little bit more. He has the greatest smile. Can you talk about this man's maturity, and what does he look forward to next year? And how are they accepting him, or what is he looking like? What is the future looking like for him right now?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Milroe is a superstar, and anybody who has spent close time with him, whether it's from the Alabama side as a coach or a player, or myself on the media side and the interactions that I've had with him, this is somebody who just reverberates energy, positivity, always and consistently talking about wanting to get better and wanting to be the best that he can so the team can move forward. And when you're talking about his story and kind of his profile as a player, when you think about, you know, some legends of the game, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, even the Jalen Hurts at Alabama, kind of what they've had to go through in their individual journeys in terms of Michael Jordan being left off the varsity team and coming back and being a great player, Kobe Bryant's work ethic, or Jalen Hurts being benched, coming back, helping Alabama win an SEC championship the next year. Now he's on to the NFL. Jalen Milroe's story kind of has a little bit of all of those things, and he kind of represents you know, somebody that you want to have representing your football program. And in terms of the steps that he's been able to take, I think that the fact that he was able to help lead Alabama to a championship last year in the SEC and lead them to the college football playoff and have the confidence in himself that maybe didn't exist early, you know, in the season, getting benched and going through those things. I think him coming back, having that confidence, knowing that he's the guy, and having the faith and the trust of Kalen DeBoer, Nick Sheridan, the offensive coaching staff. Every time that they come to the podium or they're in front of a microphone, they talk about the type of leader that Jalen Milroe is, the type of person that he is, the type of wanting to consistently improve, and how he's leading the offense. I think it's going to be really exciting to see what he looks like in Kalen DeBoer's offense, being a part of a brain trust in DeBoer and Sheridan and Jamarcus Shepherd and the rest of the staff that are really going to accentuate his talents. And I think that's going to, you know, raise the entire profile of Alabama's offense. So looking ahead to this spring, obviously learning the playbook is going to be, you know, one big part of it. And I just expect Jalen Milroe to progress as a passer. I expect him to be utilized more in the running game, which is going to open things up for Alabama's offense. And I think it's going to be a really dynamic group. So you talk about somebody who is kind of coming into this year as a star player. I anticipate that Jalen Milroe is going to kind of get that press run that we've seen past Alabama quarterbacks or other star quarterbacks having college football of, you know, all SEC teams and Heisman hype and big profile stories and all of those things. And it's going to be really fun for the nation at large to kind of get a little bit more of his personality and learn more about him as the season approaches.
Hey, Kennington Smith, man, thank you so much for honoring us with your time, bro. Appreciate that, bro. I'll see you later, man. Hey, Rue Dog, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much, Kennington Smith the Third. Your calls next on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper. All right, man, let's get this thing going. Back to more of your calls. Great job by Kennington Smith from The Athletic, really letting us in on the insights of what's going on at the University of Alabama under Kalen DeBoer, this new regime, all the positivity, the good vibes. You know, let's just keep it rolling. But probably not with the next caller. And that is JK, the Alabama hater. And I can't wait, JK. I'm here for you. What you got for me today?
What's up, big dog?
What's up, baby? I mean, you're not bringing in the heat. You good? You all right?
Man, I always got the heat, and I always want to smoke. I don't care if it's hookah, weed, chimney, a mosquito rag. I want all the smoke.
Well, JK, lucky for you, I got my cigar right here for you, dog. Smoke.
Hey,
engaged.
Check it out. Hey, man, every time you come on, I'm going to give you your props. Man, you cleaner than Publix supermarket. Not the Board of Health, you cleaner than Publix. Hey, Roman, check this out, man. I want to get your opinion. Since we just got the normal Alabama report, what's your prediction on Alabama's football season this year?
All right, let's bring up the schedule. Can we bring the schedule up for me? JK, I'll be honest with you. Alabama has lost 2 games, 3 out of the last 4 years. And people thought the sky was falling. You heard them all. But let's look at it. Let's go through it. Western Kentucky, can we agree? Win?
Yeah.
South Florida, win? At Wisconsin. Oh, you don't know.
Hold on. Now, you going too fast past South Florida because – you know, last year, y'all needed a thunderstorm to win that game.
I agree, but they also have Jalen Milroe this year, so I think they'll get that one, too. At Wisconsin, let's just go to the ones that I think are going to really, really determine a lot. At home versus Georgia.
Loss.
Georgia will probably be the favorite, depending on how they perform at Wisconsin.
And you know why I say that, Roman?
Why?
And I'm going to tell you why I say that.
Why?
Kirby, when that game comes up this year, Kirby will show you how different of a coach he is versus Nick Saban and how he'll be a better coach not coaching Nick Saban versus Alabama. You just watch the difference in his coaching this year.
Okay. I can't wait. I literally can't wait to see this game. We get Georgia, Alabama in the regular season. We don't have to wait till the end of the year. Down the line, it's at Tennessee. Let me tell you something. This young man, Nico, and I'm not even going to try and mess up his last name because I ain't got that good at it yet. But the young man playing quarterback at Tennessee, Nico, he could be a total difference maker for this Tennessee offense this year. I think at Tennessee, you better watch out. Also, coming off of that, in another 7 days, you get Missouri at home. Missouri's a much more confident team than I've seen them under where they're at right now. So under Eli Drinkwitz as the head coach. And they bring back the quarterback. They bring back some other really good players on that offensive side. They do lose a lot on defense, but you got to be careful with the Missouri game as well. At LSU and at Oklahoma late in the year. I don't even know if guys in Alabama are used to playing in cold weather. It's going to be cold in Oklahoma and Norman. You better believe it in November 23rd. So those are the games I'm telling you right now, JK. Alabama could lose a couple games. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to react at the first time that Alabama may take a loss under Kalen DeBoer. But I will tell you this, JK, just to push back on you, and I want your opinion. What if Alabama beats Georgia?
They can beat Georgia. But my prediction for their season is 9-3 at best.
Okay.
8-4 at worst. And you got to go along with at Tennessee, at LSU, at Oklahoma, and then you got to play Auburn, not to mention Georgia and Wisconsin. Come on, man. It's not going to be what the Bama fans think, but, hey, I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again. And let me tell all these Alabama fans something that's jumping up and down about Alabama Week 16. Reverse 1 year. Number one overall seed. Couldn't get past Sweet 16. Now here they are in the Sweet 16 versus North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I personally think Alabama is going to beat North Carolina.
Really?
But as far as, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you why. And I heard you talking about the big man for North Carolina. I don't trust him. That guy plays soft at times. He has an average game most of the time. So I think Alabama can beat them as long as Alabama's hitting the threes. If they're not hitting the threes, it'll be back to T-Town. But Sears, I heard a lot of people talking in my sports group that Sears is not going to be an NBA player, and they must be drunk and out of their mind because Sears is a dog. I hadn't seen a better guard for Alabama in the past at least 6-7 years. Not a point guard.
Trey, JK, I won't argue with that, man. Mark is a very talented guy, left-handed. He has developed so much, though. He's gotten so much better in the last couple years, just watching him develop his game from where he started out to where he is right now. Last year, he was just a complimentary piece to Brandon Miller. And this year, he's a flat-out scorer. Played great defense this past week and helped lift them to the Sweet 16. And you're right. If Alabama's hitting three-pointers, they can beat anybody in the country. It's all about when they're not making those threes. How do they defend, which they don't do well all the time, but how do they lock in, defend, and rebound?
Hey, you know something else, man?
What's that?
That other team in the SEC that messed my bracket up first week, and I had them winning it all because of how they were playing the last five or six games. Calipari, it's time for you to call two men in a truck and be on your way. Because there's no way you should get embarrassed like that again in the NCAA tournament. It doesn't make sense. All that talent, and you're out in the first game. No, man, it don't make sense. But, Roman, you have a good one, baby.
Hey, JK, appreciate it, baby. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. I'm ready for the smoke today. And, JK, you're correct. You're correct. You're not the only Kentucky fan a little sad, feeling a little bit blue today after that disappointing first round, man. We're going to get to a break right here. Coming up next, more of your calls. And we got a couple more guests coming up, too.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
More of your calls. Let's jump right to it. I'm going with Trey in Tuscaloosa. Why? Because I like Tuscaloosa. That's my spot. All right, Trey, what you got for me there? You're on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Yeah, do you mind we pull up the Miami Hurricane football schedule and go, you know, hold on a minute, never mind. Y'all just put one big L up there, and we don't even have to go over that schedule. Just one big L will handle that for us today. Hey, but do you realize that Alabama is the only team or school to make it to the college football playoffs and the Sweet 16? And so I got a basketball question for you and then a football question for you.
All right.
Basketball question first. What is the key to Bama's success against North Carolina moving forward? I'm going to give you my key.
Okay.
I think if they continue to play defense like they have the last two games, and these last two games, that intensity on defense has been better than it has all year. If they continue to do that, I think they have a great shot against North Carolina, because when your shots are not falling, you must rely on your defense. What's your thought on that first?
My thought is it's going to come down to Alabama. So often in life, I tell my kids, and I've talked to my friends about this, so often in life, everybody tells you, you know, oh, you got to work on your weaknesses. You got to shore up your weaknesses. And I tell them, and I respond with, well, do you know your superpower? And Alabama's superpower is their three-point shooting. And if you're good at that, just do that. Just be great at what you're great at, and we'll handle the rest of the things when we handle them or when we need to. Like Alabama needed to play defense this past weekend versus Grand Canyon. When your shooting is off, you need to go shoot the ball, Alabama. You come out and shoot the ball, that heals everything. That's your superpower. Be that. If you are that, then everything else falls into place when the University of Alabama.
All right, now my question about football. I think Caleb, I think DeBoer done a really good job of holding this team together. I mean, he's entered that's a very tough circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key for him is going to be next year when he really has to go out and really compete in recruiting, because he was able to keep a lot of people. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts is on not this year, but maybe next year as far as recruiting goes, because we all know it's a dogfight in recruiting in SEC, and it's every team. And I would just like to get your thoughts on that. And I appreciate you did everything you did for the University of Alabama, and you keep up the good work. And keep dressing like you're dressing, man. You're looking good today. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, man, appreciate that, Trey. Thank you so much. To answer that, it goes down to this. Recruiting is so difficult. It's so competitive. And right now with the transfer portal, that adds a different dynamic. Kalen DeBoer is a younger coach. I think this is a young man's game right now, where you got to be ready to deal with the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the peaks and the valleys of college football. And it includes all of those things in which Trey was just asking about. So I can't tell you how they're going to look in 2 or 3 years down the road recruiting. I will tell you this. If they win, they're going to get guys to show up. Because once you get guys to show up and see Alabama's campus, the tradition, all the great things that have been there, and all the great players that have walked those hallways, it makes it easy. But you got to win first. When you win, you're in. All right. Who else are we going to go to? All right. I'm going to go with somebody that's been sitting here a while. All right. And I'm going to get to all you guys' calls. I'm trying to hurry it up. But Matt from San Antonio. What's happening, Matt?
Hey,
how you doing, brother?
Last year, you tried to warn me about Jimbo Fisher, and you were right. Well, what I like about Mike Elko, I want to say shout out to the men's basketball team at A&M. Yep. I was mad we lost, but we fought hard to win that game. We just fell short. But I just want to say you were right about Jimbo. You know, I didn't want to admit it, but sometimes you got to admit when you're wrong, besides your pride. I like Mike Elko because he can develop players where Jimbo couldn't do it. He had too much of a toxic culture. And Mike Elko won't be that way. It's like the word you brought up. It's a young man's game. Mike Elko is a young man. Mm-hmm. He will be able to do all the things Jimbo couldn't really do well. The transfer portal, NIL, discipline, non-toxic culture, developing the players. And if you look at that schedule, I don't know if people say I'm wrong, I believe with the easier schedule, A&M can go 10-2 this year. And if you bring up a schedule, I'll tell you the wins and losses. You bring up a schedule right now, I will tell you it, and I wanted your opinion about it as well.
Well, Matt, we just brought it up. All right, we got Notre Dame to kick off the season at Florida.
That's a win. I'm not sure in Florida because I don't know how they're going to do against Miami. So for now, I'm giving that one a loss.
All right. Arkansas.
Win.
It's in Arlington, same place in Jerry World.
Yes. Yeah, that's the last time we play there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you have Missouri at home. I think that's a winnable game for sure.
I'm going to think that's a win right there because Missouri's going to be a good team. I think they're going to beat Alabama this year. That's my prediction on that one.
Oh, you know what, Matt? You might be wrong again. All right, at Mississippi State.
Okay.
All right, then you have LSU at home and at South Carolina.
That's a win.
Okay.
The LSU South Carolina to win because we've owned LSU at Kyle Field. We only lost them a few times, but lately we've owned them. We just haven't beat them at their house.
Yeah, and you know what? I think this game is different because of when it's played. You guys have normally played this game at the end of the year, different situations, everything else. I look forward to this game to see if LSU is going to be ready.
How do you feel about Mike Elko used to work for the LSU coach? Things that'd be more respect between you two, or you, how that's going to play out?
You know, respect among coaches is real. But everybody that knows me or has watched me on TV knows how I feel about sportsmanship. I think it's the most overrated thing in sports. So that's my opinion. But, you know, with coaches, I understand it. But let's finish this up, and I'm going to get to another caller here, Matt. And that's Auburn and then Texas at home. Texas is going to be a powerhouse, and we all know how tough it is to go to the Plains and win a game at Auburn.
But I'll give Auburn a loss. We lose to Auburn. We beat Texas because Kyle Field matters. And this game is going to be like a Super Bowl game for Texas A&M and Texas. The last time they played each other, I watched that game. I wish I could be there, but that's going to be a Super Bowl atmosphere before for Texas, and especially Texas A&M, because every year they talk so much smack about us. They have done better than us recently, but that game is going to come down to the 12th man, and we're going to beat them.
Well, Matt,
that's going to be the most hype game ever this year.
Well, Matt, I'm not going to argue with you. You guys heard it here first. Thanks for calling. Gig'em, right? There we go. Gig'em. Whatever you guys do. There it is. You guys hold it down. We're going to get you guys to a break. More of your calls when we come back on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host, Roman Harper, on this beautiful Monday evening / afternoon. We're going to just keep it rolling all day long. All right, back to your calls. Let's go with Joey from Alabama. Joey, what's up, my man? You're on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey. Rama, you ready for me? You wanted somebody mad. I'm mad now.
There it is. This is what I meant. Let's
JK
go. I'm ready. I'm ready for the heat,
Joey. Tell JK over there, take that little necklace off his neck, stop polishing that brass, because my Miami ain't polished nothing in a long time. Well, the mad thing about you is because I watched you sign your contract for Alabama. You dominated at Alabama. You bled crimson, and then you turn around and went to the pro. You dominated, and now you're an analyst. And then how do you come back and hold your mouth shut? And it's your heart, you know. How do you bleed it? I can't say it. It hurts me. How do you do it?
Joey, you know, I tell you how. I put on a suit. I act as if I'm a professional.
Paycheck.
Yeah, there we go. I was going to mention that last, but maybe I'll start off with the paycheck
NIL
first.
NIL shit.
Yeah, the NIL, all right? The NIL that's allowed me to be here today. That's how I do it. And so
hey,
it doesn't hurt me as much, Joey.
You badass. But one other thing before I get cut off, you tell that piece of crap over there in Pell City called, what's his name?
Matt.
AJ.
AJ.
What happened, Auburn?
Thank you. It was a little bit of a delay right there. Joey, thank you for bringing the heat today. About time. This is what I show up to the Paul Feinbaum show. I want the heat. I'm the heat man. Bring it to me. All right, next we're going with Cornbread from Columbia. Columbus, sorry. The thing
hey,
cut
what's
off.
What's going on? This is Cornbread.
What's up, baby?
What's going on, Root to the Bruns? You know, this is a special call because it's my first time calling in, and I actually get to talk to you. I get to talk to one of my bros, so it's a real good thing.
Hey, Cornbread, so I had a feeling, dog. I had a feeling it was a friend on the other line. I had a feeling.
Hey, so I have to say, first and foremost, I'm in Columbus, Ohio, but I am an LSU fan. And so, you know, on one side, I do like you, but on the other side, I don't like you.
For those that don't know, that means he likes the Saints as well. That's what that means. I hear that all the time from everybody from down there. It's okay.
Exactly. But, hey, I got two things. Like, one of the things about NIL, so we have, like, a lot of people calling about Kentucky, and they upset about Kentucky losing. But they're losing to, you know, teams that, like you say, got 25-year-old players. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's going to happen in college football eventually. You're going to have dudes jumping around, but you're going to have guys that's actually stayed at the program, and it's actually going to make an effect at the program because they've been there. So, you know, I really honestly believe that the NIL is a good thing for now, but I think everything's going to even itself out. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, you know, with a little bit of time, it's going to even itself out. And at the end of the day, I got to say this. And I'm not a Nick Saban fan, but if it wasn't for Nick Saban, LSU wouldn't be where they are today. So I have to say that.
Well, Cornbread, you're dead on it. I would also bring up a couple other things with your saying that, you know, it's not just about the young man playing against the older guys. It's also the fact that the COVID year, a lot of these players got an extra year. So now you're getting 6 year, sometimes 7 year guys that are playing these sports still. I think it matters less in football because at the end of the day, it's about bigger, faster, stronger. And the rosters are built differently. It's 11 on 11. It's a game in the trenches. Not saying basketball is not a physical game. It is a physical game. But it is things called foul trouble. It is things that affect the game in a totally different way that all of a sudden you're not hitting, you know, if I'm not completing a lot of passes, I can turn around and hand the ball off. You don't get to really do that in basketball. So it's a little bit different of a game, and it's also a tournament aspect where you lose, one and done, you're out. That is what we do, man. Cornbread, appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Call again, but especially when I'm here. Thank
you. Yes, I will, for sure. You have a good one.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. Next, we're going with Chris from Tuscaloosa. Chris, how you doing? I got to stop picking up everybody from Tuscaloosa. They going to think I'm biased over
here. Hey, Roman.
Chris, how you doing?
Roll Tide, my friend. I'm so glad to hear you on the call today.
Thank you. Roll Tide.
Your segments on Paul Feinbaum are among my most favorite, and it's mostly because of the way you approach your analysis, just the way you approach your game, which was being thoroughly prepared and ready for anything. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that, Chris. I do take it seriously.
Well, what a couple of gritty wins for Alabama. Like, did anybody see that coming? My brother-in-law's birthday was this weekend, and so Auburn lost out of the tournament. That was his first present. Alabama won and made the Sweet 16, so that was his second present. But, and talk about a complete – that's the most complete effort I've seen from that team all year. Right, both sides of the ball and competing physically. That game against Grand Canyon was super physical.
Yes,
it was one of the most physical games I've seen all year so far.
You know, Chris, I thought Alabama competed. And like I said earlier, when you're a team that finds ways to win late in the season in different fashions than the way you did all regular season, that's still a team that's evolving, and that's scary in tournament time. It's also tough to take a break, go home for 3 or 4 days, everybody tells you how great they are, how great you are, and then you show back up for another game. So we'll see how it goes. How's everything going there?
You know what? People are ecstatic. I mean, we're excited. So we're hoping we make a Final Four. My wife has Final Four. We're in for Final Four tickets. So if we make it this year, we're going to be there. But I think it's two things, right? I think you're right. I think the rat poison could get to their heads, and they really can't take off against North Carolina. I mean, it's going to have to be that plus. But I think they're going to need that time. I mean, they look pretty banged up after the game against Grand Canyon. I mean, they knocked them around. And so I'm hoping that, you know, they take that time and realize what got them there this year and what got them so far in the tournament so far has really been, I mean, it hasn't just been Mark Sears. I mean, he led the way, but like, you know, Nick Pringle, Estrada, all those, everybody has been contributing in different ways. And I think that's the secret to this team. And I think that's the secret to Nate Oates, right, as a coach at Alabama. That's really been the difference here over the last several years. What do you think about that?
Well, Chris, man, thank you for your call, man. I appreciate it. I agree with you. I think Coach Nate Oates has done a great job. And my son has Alabama going to the Final Four, too. So, Chris, if you're right, Roman II, you're going to be right, too, my boy. So, shout out to you guys for everybody picking Alabama going that far. But next up, we got Philip Duke here to talk to us just a little bit about Auburn and the Plains and what they got going on. We may even talk about basketball. Who knows?
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.